Glory. Amen. Tomorrow, of course, is the 4th of July, and so because of that, we will not have Sunday night service. We don't usually have Sunday night service on a weekend holiday or a holiday that follows directly after the weekend. So some of you may be thinking, when are you going to get the finishing on the, we're working on that. So we're going to have all that discipleship training in front of us, and it's going to be really, really good. So praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't get a chance to get out and get to see everybody, but I love you all, and I appreciate, and I wish I could just hug a million necks in the camera. So hallelujah. Are there a million? Yes, there is. Yes, there are. There is going to be, and much, much more. Praise God. Your mentality, and I say this with an honesty of heart, because I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to lead into an opportunity for you to give. But we've talked about in past services the economy and where it's going and different things, and using wisdom. But don't get small. Don't get crunchy. Live in the bigness of God. If you think, okay, I got to, this is being cut off and that's being cut. Yes, yeah, honestly, it will begin to affect your giving. You'll get where you, if you get that way, you hardly give anything because you believe you got to protect everything. But if you know that your God, in the midst of, well, when Egypt was going through their famine, He already had all the silos full, ready. Well, I don't have any silos. Wait a minute. He said He'd supply your need according to His riches and glory based on the 2022 and 23 economy of America. Did I get that right? Evidently, there's not enough of you that read the Word. Somebody should have corrected. Did I get that right?
No.
No. Your needs are met according to the abundance. I'm getting some help. I need some help. Somebody help me. Where's Miss Callie? According to His riches, where? In glory. That's your supply. So it doesn't matter if, I don't hope, but it doesn't matter if gas goes to $10 a gallon and the economy goes up to, it's about 10 or 11% right now, I think. If it doubles that, somebody said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where are your eyes at? It's got to be, you can prosper and get, you can have more in the midst of hard times if you know how to get it. Now, if you talk the world talk, He said in Psalms 103, He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed, so that all my needs are met, so that all that I have need of, well, Pastor, I don't know. We're just going to, I'm going to curl up over here in a corner and die, and hopefully we'll make it through this famine. No, Pastor, I'm going to have more during this. I'm going to get, oh, wait a minute, I'm not even going to look at anybody. I'm going to give more in all of this. Where's Miss Callie? Lord, send her from heaven. Can I say it and y'all say amen to it? I'm going to give more in the midst of all this according to your direction. Hallelujah. I'm not cutting my budget. Hallelujah. Well, cut the things that you need to cut. I hope giving's not one of them. Hallelujah. So He said, now when Paul said, I can do all things, that's Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have learned to abound and to be abased. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know where he wrote that? He had the Pauline epistles. Many of them were written from, that's one of the prison epistles. He wrote that in prison. He didn't write that on a Bahama cruise with a virgin strawberry daiquiri in his hand and say, you know what? And then he wrote the other part, my God shall supply all of your need according to, everything is so good right now. The 401k is packed. The economy's doing good. He's going to supply and meet all your needs. He wrote it from a prison jail cell and said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. You not only meet their needs because they have a different mentality than the world. Ours is not a survival mentality. I hate that survival mentality. Let's hide what we can and pack what we can and get underground and hold our breath until this is over. Lord, it doesn't matter if there's not a can of beanie weenie set back. The ravens of heaven will supply and meet all of my need according to your riches and glory if it came down to starvation. There's no way. David said, I was young and now I'm old and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Get out, survival mentality. We hate you, survival mentality. You're not welcome in our homes, our lives, or our ministry. We flourish. We flourish. We flourish. We flourish. We flourish in the midst. We flourish in the midst. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you that you supply and meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, if you just stand with us, and we're going to give the kids the opportunity to go next door. Marty, preach myself warm. Go ahead and turn these outside on. Bring it in. Pump some air in here for me. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and give us something to bring this down? Hi, guys. Good to see you this morning. And you can go ahead and let the kids go next door. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Already provided it. Hallelujah. How many of you know he knew 2023 was coming? 22, I know we're in, but we're going to be there before you know it. Can you believe it's July 4th? It's amazing. It's just utterly amazing. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you will, please, those of you that are watching, we love you. Can't say it enough. And those here, we love you as well. We appreciate you being here. You are so appreciated. It's amazing the people that God has put together to receive this outpouring. It's the cream of the crop. Somebody says, I don't feel like the cream of the crop. You are. You're the best of the best. And God loves you, loves us all the same, and all his children and other places, other churches. But boy, there's a special place in his heart for the revivalist. God can't love you more than he ever loved you when you make the decision for a revivalist. But you can definitely bring more pleasure. You can make God, not all Christians bring him the same level of pleasure. Now, he has an ability to love his children all the same when they're walking in obedience or less than full obedience, but he definitely can be pleased and he can be displeased. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 together in just a moment. Let's just pray. Father, Father, we need you more than ever before. Our desperation is on you. That you lead us and you guide us into all truth. Your word is truth. And we thank you for the precious person of the Holy Spirit who is with us and who is in us and is directing us. And Father, I just pray that in every place where this morning your people are watching, that the glory of God will be upon them, in other places that your word is being preached towards the power of this outpouring, that God, in those places of habitation, those places of worship, that you'll be so strong. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to begin to read this morning, and you follow along with me. I'll begin to read out of the fifth chapter in the first verse, and we'll get down to some scripture here that we will refer to and spend a little bit more time in, and then later go to some pertinent present-day speaking prophecies that the Lord has spoken to us in the last couple of services. Paul said to Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before thee on thee. And so they were personal prophecies, but they were prophecies meant for the whole church at Ephesus to help him to pastor. And if he would do those things, it would make his life easier. So Pastor Dave used to say this. He would say, as far as concerning war is concerned, spiritual war, you know, that comes against you, he said, you're always in one of three different places in life. He said, you're either at the beginning, the middle, or the end of a trial. In other words, you're always going to be facing something going forward. A lady came to Kenneth Hagin one time and said, Pastor Hagin, please pray for me that the devil just leaves me alone. He said, woman, the only thing I know to do to remedy that, if you really want me to get the devil to completely leave you alone for the rest of your life, I'll have to pray that you die. She looked at him in astonishment and said, what? He said, you're not going to get the devil to leave you alone from fighting against you until the day that you leave this planet. That doesn't mean that you can't live in peace, tranquility, health, that you're not the one that's living under. A lot of times you'll live in reprieves for a while. It'll seem like, whew, I can catch my breath now. Things seem to be settled down. It's not that he went someplace, that he's, you know, forgotten you, I should say. It's that the dominion of you walking in the Spirit and doing the things that are necessary to take that dominion, that you've come to a place where you're ruling over him and you're receiving all the benefits of living in that dominion. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. Look at it with me. Peter said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock. Now he's speaking to the elders, as he said, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. In other words, that filthy lucre is talking about money. In other words, don't do, as ministers of Christ, we don't do what we do for the motivation of money. Money can be used by God, and it can be beautiful, but it's filthy when the motivation is, I want to minister so I can get paid for it. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples of the flock. Now somebody might say, Pastor, this is for you and the fivefold. I'm telling you, we're growing. He's growing you up as elders. He spoke to elders here. If you're not an elder here already, as this thing goes forward, the more you grow and the more you mature, you will be elders in the future. Okay. He said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, we know who the chief shepherd is, it's Jesus. But if he said there is a chief shepherd, then there's under shepherds. Okay? I'm a shepherd to you. In the days ahead, you will be as elders shepherding and helping me shepherd multitudes. And those of you that are watching. So as the 2020 blueprint prophecies, and we said 2020, but really I'm coming to understand more that they are to be called blueprint prophecies because they carry with them a far more significance than just the year 2020. They helped us through that. They set a stage, but those blueprint prophecies, one of them said, recognize your significance. You're going to have to recalibrate, in other words, your significance. Too many people guard themselves, like, I don't want to get into pride, but they guard themselves at the expense of not recognizing who they are in Christ. If you don't come to a place to say, you know what, not out of pride, but out of, or arrogance, but out of a recognition of who Christ is, I'm important. I'm vital. My decisions in life are far more reaching than just me and mine. They're going to have substance for a lot of people going forward. You are a tsunami waiting to happen. Did you know that? The shock waves, the residual effect from your life is going to touch a whole lot of people. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothe with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Boy, if there's anything that I don't want to be, is in a place where God is resisting me. I want Him to be magnetizing to me. But here, this is amazing that He's talking to children of God and says there is a resistance that we create if we don't humble ourselves. Now, humbling ourselves doesn't mean that we humble ourselves to receive any kind of foolishness, or that we act in a pious way so that we're putting on a shame face and, you know, whatever you say to do, I'll do. That's not, he's talking about being teachable. The Lord spoke a few years ago to Gary Carpenter and said, if you're going to go to the place that I want to take you, that in the days ahead, starting now in the days ahead, you're going to have to begin to learn true God humility and come to a place where when you humble yourself, that you seek me to humble yourself again and again and again. Go through every layer of humbling. Once you've humbled yourself, humble yourself some more. There's no better way to humble yourself. What is the mechanism of humble? Can I begin to practice that? You can practice humility, but the greatest way to come into humility is to do the instructions that we've been given. Lingering in His presence produces a spirit inside of you that is humble enough to receive what God wants to get through the fire. There's a firewall. There's a firewall called the flesh. You receiving instruction that the Lord has given to you out there in here, when you do that, you're humbling yourself. If you don't do that, then you're walking in a level, though you don't recognize it, a level of pride and arrogance that says, I can get this done without doing what I've been instructed to do. So humble, but there's a humility that exists among us. Not, Pastor, I'll submit, you know, to you. What about all of us submitting to each other in a meek spirit, in a loving spirit? That's what he's trying to describe here. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. That God, I don't want to be that person. But he gives grace. This is what I want. I want more grace. How so? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, we've come a long ways around here. Not that we've arrived, but those of you who are watching, we understand the definition of exaltation is far more than the praise of man, or somebody recognizes who you are. But the exaltation that we're talking about here is to do the works that he did, we'll do also. There's no greater exaltation. You're not exalted as a pastor by name, as Dr. So-and-so, or pastor of this big church or that, or an elder. The only exaltation you have, the real exaltation you have, is if you can turn and do the works of Christ. If you've been exalted for him to say, come over here and sit with me, your spirit's humble enough now. You've broken down enough of you, and enough of you have left that I can come and I can flow the works through you as I did to my firstborn, as the son, the first begotten. If I can flow through you, then my God, you have been exalted. You've been exalted. Hallelujah. I want that exaltation. I don't care if anybody in this revival knows who I am. I don't know how to do that, because the more you do it, the more somebody will know that that's a source right there. You can go, you can plug into that, and that's you can get something. But our hearts are, my God, I don't need the recognition. All I know is that how do you think you're going to feel when you open a blind eye? Homer's not here. We'll pick on him. He's on a little vacation, but that's okay. He'll probably listen to this. What would you feel like if you privately, none of us watching, if you just was able to stop by his house one day, walk in there, you didn't care. You didn't care if he even ever told, here's true humility. You wouldn't care. You could care the least if anybody ever knew. If you just said, Homer, please don't tell anybody. And he agreed, but it wouldn't matter. But if it happened in a service or it happened privately, if you were the one who got to lay your hands on him and watch his eyes open up, do you think you'd walk out of there feeling like you couldn't write me a check for $10 million, put it in the bank? There's no way. That's a cheap date. That's a cheap exaltation compared to having the power to reach over and get him healed where he could turn and look at Rosie once again. And only have him say, somebody stopped by my house this week and got me healed. You'll know if you can shake it all together and there's not even an ounce of anything in there inside of you. Not even an ounce, not a thread of a want to have your name mentioned with it. You know you're on the path to being dead enough to having some of those things take place. They're going to happen. Glory to God. Father, I believe you. This is true exaltation. But he says this, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may be able to exalt you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now here's our significant verse right here, casting all your care. The word care here in the Greek interprets out to the word distraction. You can look it up later. You don't have to have a big Greek book. Just look it up out of the Strong's. It's the word distraction. Casting all of your distraction all of your distractions on Him. The furtherance of that definition describes a distraction as, in essence, a solicitation of attention. Did you get that? A distraction is a solicitation for attention. In other words, it wants to take your attention off of the assignment. For us, the assignment is revival, and get your attention on whatever it is that has come. And He told us that if we would humble ourselves, keep ourselves in that humility, in that place, then that would go a long ways to casting every distraction, every care on Him that would come to solicit our attention, to distract us from the present tense. So He says here, be sober, be vigilant. This is our mindset. This is our mindset, because He's going to tell us about the war. Be sober, be vigilant. It's not talking about stop drinking, but it's telling you in the same way as somebody would sober up from being intoxicated because they don't think straight when they're intoxicated. Here's how you must think as a born-again believer in this fight that we're in this warfare. Be sober immediately. In other words, put down any kind of distraction that would come against your mind. One of the blueprint prophecies said, immediately when things come to accuse your brethren, put them down right then. Don't let them stay. He said this, I just remember, He said strongholds are thoughts that you've allowed to stay. Fixing your lunch, your tuna sandwich, you're meditating on, I think they're probably this, or they probably, He said, why would you judge another man's servant? In other words, that person is my servant. Stop. Get your thoughts off of them. The best way is when you have any thought of thinking something about them, if it wants to slide and go south, just begin. Every time you think about them, Jesus, I thank you for that person. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they're one of the strongest Christians in our church and they're doing the works of the ministry. Hallelujah. Now that's you and him privately. Don't you dare. Don't you even begin to dare to open up your mouth to somebody else. Now you've opened up another world. You've opened up the world where demons and devils and all kinds, they hear your words. They'll come after you. Oh, this is just good teaching right here. It's one thing to have an internal battle. It's another thing to open up this. This is the gateway to your mind. All spirits and angels, and you know, God sees it. He knows what you're thinking. But angels and spirits don't until you, this is the gateway to your brain, this tongue. They're wondering. They don't know. But when you open that tongue, you've opened classroom up for a lot. You've got a lot of other things going on now. You've opened up a circus. Don't open up the circus. Keep things private. Isn't praying in tongues wonderful? Because he doesn't know what you're saying. Glory be to God. Devil doesn't know what you're saying. Man, I wish I got to follow him, because you got all this stuff here. We don't know if we'll ever get these prophecies. Well, he's prophesying right now. You know that? He's prophesying right now. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Why would I be sober? Why would I continually bring my thoughts in? No accusations. Oh, that's a fearful thought. I'm not going to make it. Oh, I'm not. What? I'm going to die of cancer. Sometimes it's okay for you to speak out loud, not concerning your brethren, but when that thing is there, you know, he'll have me say something here. It's one thing for something weird, stupid, crazy to come against your mind. You know, you can have a passing thought because your brain is so full of everything. But when something comes with an image, your kid's going to die today in a car wreck. One of your grandkids is going to die. Or, yeah, that pain is cancer. You're going to die of it. That what you've been putting up with, you're fighting, that's going to... Sometimes, just like Norval said, you just need to speak, just you and you, nobody else. You're putting clothes in the washer, or you're washing, or you're doing... Now, at work, it's not, you'll scare somebody to pieces. But sometimes you got to have a conversation with it. If Candy heard me, sometimes she'd think, that she knows spiritual things, so I'm just talking to her. You shut up! You shut up! Get out! You better get out of here, you crazy thing. By his stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to die. Amen. No, you're not going to kill him. I release the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord camps around about them and delivers them at all times. Amen. There's a difference between a bird flying over kind of thought and when something, there's a presence there. If you don't do something about it, Jesus isn't going to. That thing will follow you around for days. And you'll be like, God, why ain't you doing something about it? He said, I gave you the authority. This reminds me of just good old 101 faith preaching now. I like it. Glory to God. I can have what I say. I'm going to prosper during these next few years. I'm going to put more money in the bank than I ever, and use it however God tells me to use it. I'm not going to have less. My body's getting healthier every day. I'm 50, 62. I only got, God bless me, I only got 58 more years. that's all I got. So I got to go ahead and I'm not, when I die, I'm going to die in my home in familiar circumstances. No nurse is going to be taking care of me. Okay? And my mind's going to be just as sharp. You come in the day before and we'll have coffee if you want to. And I'll talk about how much I bench pressed the day before. Well, I don't see myself. I know. That's all right. That's all right. I'll meet you there. I'll come and meet you there. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's okay. Glory be to God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Somebody said, oh, he's just a roaring lion and he's a toothless. Well, let me tell you something. That toothless thing that you think that's nothing, he's killed more people through sickness and disease that didn't have to die of sickness and disease. He's taken more lives than what you can count. Oh, he's nothing. Oh, treat him like that. Treat him like from an unsober kind of thought process. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour because he doesn't know. But he does know, Pastor Dave used to say, you've got a big bullseye. You know, Captain America, that big spiral, he said, you got a straight bullseye walking around. He doesn't know. He's like, I'm going to go get me somebody today. Where's the cloths at? Oh, I thought the covers. Yeah. What's the guy from Peanuts? Linus. Pigpen. The blanket. Linus. I'm going to put Linus and Pigpen together maybe. How you doing? I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in victory, but I got to tell you something. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Will you pray for me? He don't know until this face shows it, till actions show it, till words show it. But the only ones that he can devour, he's like, I need somebody to devour. I need to take him out. I'd like to get him broke, kill him, take him out of this world before their time. Do whatever I can. Who is it? Who among you can I get? He don't like to pick. Now, all of us are in a fight. But I'm telling you something. When you go up to somebody, you think twice. When you look at, if you want to fight, you think twice about, that guy will probably knock me on my keister versus that punk that's still, he looks good, but he's a nothing. He's a weak, he won't fight. He has no fight in him. Pastor Dave used to say that the only way that the devil knows, especially that he can jump on you, is that when you are filled with care. Care is the bullseye by which he measures whether or not he can get anything done in your life. It's a difference between you fighting a battle. Now, you'll fight a battle, but if he can't get you to take the care, that's the difference. If he can't get you to take the care, and usually that's measured with your mouth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. But he says this, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, I don't like to use this phrase, but I will use it to some extent. Misery loves company. Not that we're going to say that we're in misery, but we're in a war. See, I'll tell you whose, I hate to tell you this, I'll tell you whose battle is the most important battle that's being fought among us, all of us today. The most important war that's more important to God than anybody else's. Or, I'm not going to throw you off by saying that's a misnomer. I'm joking when I say it's more important to God. But the most important, to me, the most high priority battle or war that anybody is going through in this building, guess who it is? It's mine. It's my war. Because that's all I can see, and I think, if you don't watch it, that's all you'll think about. And then you'll start thinking everybody else is prosperous. Nobody else has got what, nobody else is going through pain. Nobody else has got a hitch in their giddy up. Nobody else is. And he says, these same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren that are spread out through the world. They're all in a battle if they're on this walk going forward. But our flesh, if we don't stay in the Spirit and humble ourselves, is that my battle is. Hallelujah. My battle. A pastor? Yes, sir. I think everybody's talking about me. Behind my back. Can I tell you something? I hope this don't hurt your feelings. Everybody's fighting so many battles of their own. You're really not that important. They don't think about you. They really don't think about you. It's not. What's that? Shown up. Don't overly importantize yourself. It's like, really? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, why does it say after that you've suffered a while? It's not, that verse in itself would sound like, okay, after God says, okay, no, a little bit more. Beat on them just a little bit more. Okay, I got a time frame here. I schedule this trial to be a three-monther, and they just need a, but after it's over, after you beat on them a while, then I'm going to establish, strengthen, settle them, and that's not what it's saying. He gave you the prerequisite at the beginning to escape it as quickly as possible. And it was to humble yourself. Now listen, do you know you can be out of the trial before the trial's over? What? There's a place called done. You can be out of the trial before the trial's over. Even before the alloy completely goes away, you're so assured in your heart that it's a done deal, that you're living in the land of peace. But the prolonging, what prolongs a trial, God didn't send it to start with. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the quicker that you can get underneath the umbrella of acquainting yourself continually in that place where you're humbling yourself and allowing him to wash over you and fill you with the hope for the future and believe, I'm coming out of this. Kenneth Hagin used to say, when you are get ready, when something drops over in you, cross the line, when you get ready to stand forever, it's done. I mean to tell you, when you get ready, see, we want to be, to start with, when we first go into a trial, it's like, I want it now, and you got to, and he wants it now too, but it's just that your faith isn't where it needs to be yet, or else, it, you know, like, if the pain's there and you say go and it doesn't go, it's not because he's not doing it. He provided all that at the cross. There's something in you and me that needs to be perfected. But if you'll stay in that place of confessing his word and believing his word and stand at some point, to start with, you're anxious and you vacillate, you'll back and back. But when you cross the line, like Dad Hagin said, when there's something comes inside of you, say, you know what? I don't care how long I got to stand. I'll stand forever in a day. They'll put me in the coffin saying, I said, he said, when you get to that place, it's just about over. It's completely over. You're crossing a line. Glory be to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. So that's his end. He wants to bring us to a place to perfect us, to establish us, strengthen, and just get us settled on every place. Hallelujah. If you go, this part I won't read. I'll just exhort a little bit on this. Every thing that could be mentioned in Mark chapter 4, afflictions, persecutions, cares of this world, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. All of every one of those things that are a distraction to steal the word from you. Gary's been talking about doing an excellent job. I won't even get into that because there's so much to be said there. But it's not just to steal the word and knowledge. It's to steal the fruitfulness of the word. The maturing, what the word brings about, the instruction. If you do the instruction, then the instruction will bring about fruit, which is not the Galatians kind of fruit, like love, joy, peace, and all that. but it is the fruit of the earth, the offspring of our inheritance, which is thousands being born again. But if He can't get us off, then we're going to bear fruit. Well, our prototype, which is Christ, which is the one who, He tried all this out. He road tested it. It works. He went into Luke and Matthew, both record in chapters 4 of their Gospels, when Jesus went into the wilderness. Mark does a quick summation of it. John doesn't even really speak of it, hardly at all. But when Jesus went into the wilderness, when He was baptized by John, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then immediately He was sent into the wilderness to fast and to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted. Here's another substitute. He went through all of that so that you and I gained His standing on the other side of it. So that everything that He went through and road tested, the power of the born again, the new nature, which His was a nature that He had from the beginning, but He road tested that. And then the baptism on top of that, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single thing, if you went through Mark 4, every single thing that's listed there that can take you out of your assignment and get you distracted, He faced mano to mano. Now, His wasn't a devil or a demon. His was the devil, Lucifer, the fallen angel, the fallen one. Everything that He faced. I like Matthew's, I like Luke's, but Matthew's has a connotation that you're able to pick up on, that gives you actually the chronology, the chronological order, because Matthew and Mark swap the second and third temptation, but Matthew gives you a T-H-E-N, a then, which lets you have a, it signifies that there was the first, and then there was the next one, and then you conclude that 2 out of 3, you have the last temptation. Luke just kind of mixed the last couple. It wasn't important in his writings to tell you exactly when, which time it took place in that 40 days. He just let you know it did happen. But Matthew, the first thing that the enemy came at Christ with after He had fasted was, well, we know this, that Christ was no sooner raised up out of the water that God's voice spoke to everyone, but Christ heard it, John heard it. Some said it thundered. They didn't know. But He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, Satan, 40 days later, said, if you be the Son of God. Questioning. Somebody said, I feel like my salvation is being questioned. That was Christ's questioning. That was His interrogation. That was Satan coming against Him. If you are truly the Son of God. He was being badgered too. But Dave used to say this, the intensity of what He went through in the wilderness cannot be described. Those Gospels gave us a quick synopsis, a summation of something that was 1,000, 10,000 times deeper. Here you have the absolute epitome, the absolute embodiment of all evil. All evil. All devils are subordinate to this one entity called Lucifer. Then called Lucifer. Now, the fallen, the devil. He stood down Christ and questioned His identity and said, if you be, what He's doing is He's coming. Peter, 1 Peter 5, we just read it, casting every distraction upon Him. The word care, casting every distraction upon Him. This is the distraction that Christ faced, all of those things to get Him off of His assignment. to get him off of his assignment. The first thing, or not, if not to get him off of his assignment, to recalibrate his assignment so that he goes into it not fully engaged in the way that he should. The first thing he comes and he says, if thou be the Son of God, in other words, prove yourself, turn these stones into bread. Well, to start with, the temptation is not really as far as the turning the stones into bread. There's nothing wrong about changing the molecular structure of something. In other words, there's no moral sin in that. There's no Ten Commandment against that. What was the problem was this, is that Satan wanted him to prove himself by taking his dependency off of his Father and putting it on himself and using his power to do something that his Father was not engaged in. In fact, it's amazing to me that the very first miracle that he does after coming out of the wilderness is to change the molecular structure of water into wine. You can't take water and shake it up. You leave it there for 50 years, it's never going to turn into grape juice. And just like that, he changed the molecular structure. He changed it. It was like, thumbed his nose at the devil, like, you couldn't make me do it, but watch this. When my Father wants me to do it, I can turn water into wine. I can take 3 and 5. I can take 3 loaves, 5 fishes, and I can feed thousands. Watch this. Let me show you something. But on his own, because it was to prove, Satan, prove to me, take and prove. If he could have got him to do that, and probably Christ could have, he could have just turned those stones into bread. Said, look, do you know what he would have done? He would have started a road into his 3.5 years of ministry, that when he saw something that probably needed to be done, he just took it on his own initiative to do it without leadership of the Father. You can do a lot of works in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is not really in the work itself. You can couple, and you can even sometimes he'll come and honor the power with power to get somebody healed or do something, but it's not because he was at the moment leading you to go there or do that. And if Jesus did not from the very beginning say, I'm not going to be led about as a revivalist, you're not going to lead me about, Satan, just because you tell me I need to do something. The sin or the getting off would not have been changing the molecular structure. He did that. John said the very first miracle he did was turn water into wine. So he left the wilderness and said, passed up one miracle. Let me show you this. But the getting off for Christ would have been, I get into a problem. They come and say, your ministry's running low on money. I don't know how we're going to make it to the next town. Our families, we're following you, the disciples, we're following you. We're not working, so how do we support our wives? You've been helping us, but the bag has run low. Let's see. Had he started a route in the wilderness to start doing things on his own, even trying to use God's power to do things on his own, in today's world, he'd have been a pastor that said, okay, instead of us stopping, praying and saying, God, what do you want? Let's see. We've got good credit. Our credit's 850, and we've got this and that. Let's fill out a form at the bank. Go to the bank, get a line of credit, get $1 million worth of credit, and that'll fix it. And then they go in, get the credit, and they say, God, woo! His favor was with us. They passed us through, and they put the $1 million, and glory to God. And That's wonderful. The only thing is, that's not how he wanted to do it. Why is that important? I can tell you why it's important. Because when he got to the feeding of the 5,000 or 4,000, he'd have come up with an idea out of his brain rather than depending on the Holy Spirit to get something done. Those blueprint prophecies said, when you come into those situations, step back, step back, step out of your... Because the first engagement is to employ something out of... I can fix this. I'm a hard worker. I got good credit line. I got this, that. He said, shut your mind off. Step back. Disengage and engage in his authority. See what he wants. The sin for Christ would not have been turning it into bread. It would have been providing for himself. Well, this is just good preaching. But you're getting it. If thou be the Son of God. There was a whole lot more in that. Mark 4, afflictions, persecutions, cares of this life. Cares of this life could have run over into the second one, the second major distraction. The Bible says that the enemy, Satan, actually handled him. It said he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. It doesn't say, you look for it yourself, not now, but it doesn't say that he had a vision that he went. He actually manhandled him, took him to Jerusalem, and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. Dave would say this is where he went through mental anguish beyond words. Where that he was so absolutely tempted for suicide. The emotion of everything that Satan was putting on him for the purpose of getting him to relieve himself. He said, again, he used the word of God, if thou be the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. There's not enough words. Now, all of us have gone through mental anguish at different times. Fights of depression, fears, anxieties. This has been road tested. The man that went before us has gone to the ultimate. He didn't face a devil like you and I are facing. He didn't face a devil. He faced the devil. He faced the devil that in all of principalities that rule nations, they're subordinate under him. In other words, in himself, apart from the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't stand. Apart from your new nature and the power of the Holy Spirit, he'd crush you like a Coke can. You wouldn't stand a chance. A human being underneath him. But here again, with the anguish and everything that he poured out on Christ at that moment, Christ did not depend upon himself. And Dave would say he put more mental pressure. This is the cares of this life and all those things that could possibly, the million different things that could come on people to distract them. Jesus stood up and said, it is written. He road tested this. In other words, it doesn't matter what anguish you could ever go through in this life. Somebody's done gone to the very end of it, the worst of it, and he didn't throw himself down. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He didn't throw himself down. Deceitfulness of riches. Then here's the thing. If he can't get you, Dave would say, and I like Matthew again because I believe it's the chronology. It's the greater temptation was this. He held the ace to the end. The ace card. I'm going to beat his brains out First of all, I'm going to see if he'll switch his dependency off of the Father onto himself and use the Father's name to provide for himself. When he couldn't get that, then I'll just beat the... He couldn't beat the hell out of him. He tried to beat the hell into him. I'll just torment him. And then I'll take him and set him up and say, relieve yourself. Go ahead and relieve yourself. And if you don't die, God'll protect you. He'll protect you. Don't worry. That's the cares of this world. But then the highest of all was way beyond any of the first two. He switched it. It's like, okay, if I can't torment you to death, if I can't get you to depend on yourself rather than the Father, I'll see if I can buy you. I'll see if I can buy you. Can you be bought? Dave said, he said, the difference between a trial that is persecution and cares of this world is you want to escape. And you'll take the word and you'll stand up. You'll either die in it, or you'll take the word and say, I gotta live and not die, or I gotta get out of this mental torment. And you'll find every scripture. We put up some good emotional scriptures recently. You'll find those and you'll go through them day after day. You'll fight like a madman to come out of it. That's the worst trial I've ever been. It probably, but can I tell you something, sweetheart? There's one that's way bigger than that. It's called the prosperity. Somebody said, I'm about ready to be tempted by that one. No, you're not. Not without the character of Christ. And some people think that that's $1 million handed to them. That's a deception to think that that's how it comes. Like, okay, with Christ, he came and said, put him on a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You can't go to any. You can't go to Everest. Can't go to Everest, tallest in the world. You can't see from Everest all the kingdoms. He's talking about a spiritual mountain. And he said, all these things will I give to you. For such is delivered unto me, I'll give it unto you if you'll just fall down and worship me. The lust of other things was the highest takeout. He switched. He said, okay, I can't beat him into submission. I can't trick him into submission. I'll see if I can buy him. I'll bet the euphoria. Oh, I remember Pastor Dave used to go to India, and he and Tim, and they would hold meetings for Dr. Dinakaran. And I remember Dave telling this story that Dr. Dinakaran, he was an apostle to India, and he would have like 1 million in his crusades at one night. Dave preached in some of those crusades and told how that thousands and thousands were healed just with one prayer, you know, just not laying his hands on it. But Dr. Dinakaran would have these meetings. He was an Indian, and he would have these meetings where thousands and millions would show up, 1 million in one crowd. And he was apostling India, and he would pray every day. And he said that he had, like Paul, on a number of occasions, visited heaven. One day in his prayer closet, he looked and he saw Jesus coming. Well, he saw him, he'd seen him before coming, and he knew what the deal was. Usually Jesus would take him and visit with him in a heavenly place for a bit and give him instruction for India. Today, a figure and almost looked just like Jesus come walking. He thought, okay, here we go. When he got close enough, he realized, oh, this is not Jesus. He said, amazing enough, Satan did not begin to harass him, like say mean, ugly things. In fact, the very first thing he did is he addressed him as Mr. Mr. Dinnerkin. See, you think that the things that are Satan are ugly, pitchforked, and have a bad... That's the end result when you see somebody dry up with cancer. You can see the works, whether or not he was there directly or it was a genetic thing that just the fall of Adam. We see the ugliness of the devil. But usually on that level and on most of the church doesn't even recognize the deception that they're in, let's say, the deceitfulness of riches. Because the care or the distraction is taking them out. It's not $1 million he's offering you. It's just something of pleasure that takes away from your prayer time that he's asked you to do. Mr. Dinnerkin? Yes. And he said immediately he was caught up and he stood in a high place. He stood in a spiritual mountain. And he was looking over the earth and he was looking over India. And he spoke real kindly, respectfully to him. He's still a snake in the grass. Mr. Dinnerkin, sir, I will give you, if you'll just switch and give your allegiance to me, I'll make you the richest man in India. I'll give you everything. All of this is at my disposal if you'll just switch your allegiance to me. Dr. Dinnerkin wouldn't even answer him. I don't know if he later spoke the word or said anything. He just stood there and would not answer him. He pleaded with him. Do you understand? I mean, if you're a there's no babies in here. If you're a man, that's women, that's riches, that's rapport, that's everything. They'll make a god out of you, Mr. Dinnerkin. Eventually, he had to take him back to where he was, and he left. The great temptation that is, somebody said, well, I've never been, no, far more than what you think, but very subtle. The deceitfulness of riches is not, that probably will never happen to any of us. But it does happen to all of us all the time. Will you bow your knee to something less than what your call is? Will a distraction, it's all right to have, it's all right to work, it's all right to prosper, but everything has to be judged. Wait a minute, is this opportunity taking me away? Well, I've got a responsibility. I need to do... Wait a minute. Responsibility is one of the biggest deceptions that's ever been. You need to be a responsible person. Yes. In the light of God's wisdom. It's also one of the biggest deceptions that Satan ever come up with. I need to spend more time. You're already putting in overtime. I need to work at this harder. Have you gotten anything today? I hadn't even got to the prophecies. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We glorify you. Stand with me. Oh, Jesus. Harry, could you play? We love you, Lord. We know this, that we're no match in ourselves. Therefore, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because what we want to see is that the blind see and the lame walk. And all of these works are manifest. This morning, if you're watching this, you're tuned in, or maybe you're sitting in somebody's living room and that invited you into their home church. If you do not know Jesus, the simplicity of the gospel is that he died for you personally for your sins. Somebody said, have I sinned? Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we are born of him, and when Christ receives us, we're no longer sinners by nature, but we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If this morning, if you do not know for sure that you are ready to meet Christ, a provision has been made for you. You don't have to be concerned past this moment in time. A provision, a great provision, has been provided for you. That's Christ. The simplicity is, Paul said, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and anyone in here or out there that's watching, if you do not have a full assurance of Christ, then let's pray this prayer all together. But for you personally who are possibly meeting him today, say this with all your heart. Let's say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that he is my way of escape. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. But I'm going to live in eternity with you, Lord Jesus. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me in your blood. And I will serve you, Lord, the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's one other thing, and there may be people in here, but those of you that are watching, if you do not pray in tongues, we are not bashful in this church to give you opportunity, both through the camera or in person. If you do not pray in tongues, or you're having a hard time praying in tongues, I want to pray with you. We'll have some of our elders pray with you. It's very, very simple. You say, well, I'm having a rough time with it. I understand that, and I understand how people that, when they're not accustomed to it, can be having a challenge. But the Holy Spirit has come to baptize us and to lead and to guide us into all truth. If you're here this morning, physically, or you're watching through the camera, and you say, I do not speak in tongues, and you would like for me to lay hands on you, please come forward at this time. Okay, there's one. Just stand right here and just keep facing the mat. That's great. Anybody else? Anybody else would like to join him? Here's another. Let's give him a great big hand as they come. If you two guys can stand over here and just face the front like you are. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? I'd like some of our elders to come and help me pray with these. And those of you watching, we've got two that are about to be filled with the Spirit. Please. Somebody said, I've got maybe something to do. No, we've got time for these. We've got time. Their life is very important. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to speak to these and camera, you might want to pan this way a little bit, and I'm speaking to the camera as well, and all of you are with me. Let me have some of my elders up here, some men. I've got some ladies. I'd like you ladies too that pray in the Spirit with me. Yep. Okay, guys, maybe this is something you've tried before, or you're seeking God for, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is obviously, and I'll tell you, it's not something that saves you. You've been born again just because you're trusting in Christ. And the next thing that Christ provided for us was he said, the Father, if I go away, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. You understand that? And the original people were filled as the apostles laid hands on them and they began to speak in tongues. You're not receiving something different. You're just receiving more of the same in that sense of the word. So when I lay my hands on you and we begin to pray for you, I'm just going to ask you to kind of turn your mind off as best as you can, because sometimes it's hard, and just relax and believe that that language will be created on the inside of you. You're not just receiving a language. You're receiving a baptism, which means a baptism means the Holy Spirit is filling you up. And so sometimes you get baptized, and those of you who are watching and listening, sometimes you get baptized and you maybe get a syllable, or because the speaking the tongues is not necessarily the baptism, it's a sign of the baptism. So once you get baptized, you might get a syllable or something, or you may even be driving home or tonight in the shower or whatever, and more starts coming. We've got people here that when they first were baptized got hardly anything, but then the more they opened up their spirit to God, the more that happened to them. So I'm going to lay hands on you. First of all, I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me, and all of us and those that are watching, let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father,
I thank you that
the Word says
that
if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you would give me the Holy Spirit. And that's all I would get. I receive that now. Father, I'm asking you for the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I receive this by faith. Amen. Now I'm going to lay hands on you, and I describe this sometimes. It's like stepping off a mountain. You're like, I don't see anything. But you just step off, and you, for this to work, for this to happen, you have to actually let air come out of your throat, your lungs, pass through your... I'm not asking you to create this. I'm asking you to listen, and whatever syllables or whatever sounds are coming up, just begin to, by faith, speak those. They may sound like everybody's is different. And I believe I've said enough for you to understand, but just lift your hands, both of you. Hallelujah. Father, I release the power of the Holy Ghost to them. And I thank you this moment that they are both being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just receive it. Just receive it. I release the Holy Ghost. That's it, Matt. Just continue. That's it. Whatever syllables, however soft they may be, however it comes. Come around here and work with him, Carl, and just make sure. Listen to make sure. It seems like I just want to make sure. Ben, I know this is different, new to you, but the Holy Spirit wants to baptize you. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive that Holy Spirit now. Just begin to move your lips and just begin to speak whatever is coming up out of your brain, it seems like, but it'll be coming up out of your spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost even now. Receive the Holy Ghost even now. Just begin to move your lips. Just step out in faith. Ralph, come here and kind of help him. Just Ralph's going to help you. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just keep praying for these. Receive the baptism. Those of you that are watching, I release the Holy Spirit to you now in the name of Jesus. you're in a living room or someplace, even days from now, and you're saying, I want to speak in tongues, I release that power to you. Just as if I was laying hands on you right now. You can receive it with no one there. You be filled now with the Spirit. Receive that now. Receive Him now. In Jesus' name. That's right. Just a syllable starting up out of your spirit. Just a soft word starting up. Let that river begin to flow. Let that river begin to flow. Let that river begin to flow. Flow, river, flow. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lima la mala bosola bakala setiete. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Something's at work. Something's at work. You're going to find something, some breakthrough in this. These guys are brand new out of the box. So they haven't heard, but they're experiencing. Don't fight for it like it's a struggle. Just receive it like it's a free gift. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. These are going to continue working with them for a few more moments. We love all of you. We appreciate you being with us today. We'll leave the camera going even after we close. But formally, we bless you. Have a wonderful holiday, a wonderful day. Let the power of the Holy Spirit rest in all of your lives and in your homes. Blessings. We love you a bunch. In Jesus' name, amen.